For those looking for a liberatory martial arts learning approach and curriculum, we've created Liberation Martial Arts. It doesn't just teach you martial arts, it's also an approach to learning movement skills. The whole point of our program is to remove the need for a coach, to liberate you from the need of top-down instruction and toxic gyms. If you have a coach and also have a gym, then you can apply our learning approach to improve your progress. Or maybe you also need a supplemental martial arts community as a counter to the commercial gym you go to. You can actually apply our learning approach to learn anything, and our practitioners are. They're applying it to all sorts of things, whether physical, mental, or even personal. It's just a radically different approach to everything. Sign up for Liberation Martial Arts at the Southpaw Pod Patreon, or support us by signing up for one of the other tiers, and help us support this project while also getting access to bonus content, like early releases of SDS9 with transcripts. SDS9 Season 3 was recorded from the beginning of 2023 to early 2024 and was first published on Patreon. Now that we're done with the season, the entire season is being released all at once on the Southpaw public feed. Find Season 4 on the Southpaw Pod Patreon. This episode was recorded on January 30, 2024. We are back with Southpaw Deep Space Nine Season 3. If you don't know what SDS9 is, it's Southpaw's completest DS9 watch-along show where we watch every episode, recap it, and analyze it. We are your hosts, Scott and Sam. Scott is someone who's watched DS9 more than once, whereas I'm someone who's casually watched some episodes when it first aired, but this is my first time watching each episode in earnest as an adult. After we watch each episode, we come together and talk about it with today's eyes, but also with a historical and political lens, just with whatever's going on in our minds. In this episode, we are discussing Season 3, Episode 21, The Die is Cast, which is the continuation of the last episode. Scott, can you tell us about this episode?
Sammy One, can you do something for me? That is a reference that you probably don't get. But it's a Drake and 21 Savage song, even though both of them are not great people. But it was, I just wanted to sing to you. I use it whenever I can.
I appreciate it.
Do you hear this?
Mm-hmm.
That is my dice. Because I own several dice, because I'm a nerd. And this episode is called The Die is Cast, Part 2. Last and Improbable Cause, Garak, Enna Brentane, and Odo were in a Romulan ship about to go do a hate crime on Odo's people. But then Bashir and O'Brien are seen, they're eaten. Bashir is chewing Miles' ears off. just talking about all this stuff, being philosophical, being deep. And Miles is disinterested. He's just like, bro, when I eat, I eat. But Bashir is like, no, but check out this John about theater and whatever. We can tell that Bashir is trying to recreate the philosophy debate dates he has with Garak. But that's not what Miles is about. And that's okay. What we search for in friends is, you know, robust. It's been some time, and there's no dice about what's going on the ship with Tane, Garak, and Odo. And Miles is called to the hole because Tetrion particles descend. He sees a Romulan warbird in a cloaked Cardassian ship, and then what appears to be a whole fleet. They decloak. They're like, oh shit, something's about to happen, but they just go to the wormhole. Ben calls Starfleet. We now see Anna Brentain and Garak drinking. As we know, Anna Brentain was previously the head of the Obsidian group, which is like the secret police in Cardassia, and they're slowly getting more and more power in Cardassia. And they talk about the good old days. So we're sort of getting a confirmation that Garak was a member of the Obsidian Order and used to torture prisoners and commit war crimes. It's still unclear what caused the schism. Garak is just very happy to connect with people and also kill people. And he shows a disdain for Gul Dukat that he's going to mess with when we return to Cardassia. And let's be honest, no one likes Gul Dukat. He sucks. Remember his name. Tane thinks Garak, will be able to eliminate anyone he wants after the emission, because this will allow Garak to return from exile. But then Tane hints at killing Mila, his, assistant cleaning lady, mother figure for Garak. Garak is not happy about this, but Tane is like, I have to clean up all loose ends. But Garak's like, spare her. And Tane's like, you like her. She always believed in you. And he's like, I don't reveal anything. The Romulan colonel, Lovak, comes on board. He's dubious of Garak. Garak surmises that the ship that's been going slow is doing this as to not raise suspicion. And Garak is sent to convince Odo to get any sort of founder info. But Odo is angry. He's like, why are you imprisoning me? Garak apologizes. Odo posits that Garak has lost his touch and he can smell his dishonesty. The Jem'Hadar, which are the Dominion soldiers, they're genetically engineered people. They're also hooked on a specific drug that keeps them going. So, and one of Anna Brentain and the Romulan Talshiar, the Romulan secret force, their plan is to cut off the product and make them dope sick and mess with them that way. There are so many real world analogs in this one. So Romulus and Cardassia are asked about it, like the official governments, and they're like, we don't know what's going on. The bigwigs at Starfleet sort of imply that they're not mad at what's going on. Deep Space Nine is ordered to evacuate all the civilians and get ready for action. Ben asks for permission to go to the Gamma Quadrant to find Odo, but is dismissed. A bunch of starships are coming to Deep Space Nine for the defense of both Deep Space Nine and Bajor, seeing what happens, because Bajor is right next to the wormhole. So Ben's like, look, guys, I'm going to go do something. Who's coming with me? I'm going to the Gamma, and I'm going to find Odo. But look, we might die, and we might get court-martialed. Okay, bro. All this senior staff, the main people, including security chief Michael Eddington, who's kind of suspicious, they go to the Gamma and are going to head to the Founder World. They are like, when they're sent radio instructions, they're like, what? I can't hear you. Like someone used to call you back in the day, you'd be like, the Romulan Cardassian secret team are heading to the Founder homeworld to boom boom the planet. And they want more intel from Odo and ask Garak to interrogate. Apparently, the Obsidian Order have developed a device that might stop one of Odo's kind to not change shape. And Tane is like playing with Garak and like offers like, oh, if you don't want to do that, the Tarshiar can do it. But if you can't do it, And Garrick's like, no, I'm going to do it. We go back to the Defiant and the cloaking just stops out of nowhere. I sense something is fishy. Miles notices that the cloak should be working. Eddington, the war security guy, admits he did it. He was told not to let Ben do this sort of thing. However, they're about to put Eddington into the barracks. But he's like, look, if you don't put me in the barracks, I will help you. And Ben says, well, if someone from Starfleet, the Federation, tells me that they're going to do something, I believe them. I will believe anyone that does that. And Miles is told he has like 2 hours to fix the cloaking device, even though he thinks it'll take him 10, which is a thing that the engineers always have to deal with on Star Trek. Garrick goes to meet Odo. Odo taunts Garrick about torture and how he can't do shit. Garrick brings this new anti-morphing device, and to everyone's surprise, it works. Odo, however, needs to return to Liquid I forget the amount, but at a certain amount of time, he needs to go back to his Liquid form. And we don't know what'll happen if he can't turn back at this point. Garrick wants the secret founder changeling info, and we see Odo start to deteriorate. Garrick says, I am simply doing my job. Odo suggests, this is more than that. You kind of lust this shit. You kind of like hurting people. Odo knows Garrick just wants to do it. And Garrick says, no, that's not the case. I'm begging you to submit. Just tell me. And at the last minute, what Odo admits is that he yearns for going home and being part of the Great Link and being connected. So Garrick has his info. He allows Odo to liquefy, and Garrick shows guilt. Alligator tears, if you ask me. Back on the Defiant, Miles fixes the cloak and gives Eddington a bunch of crap. They're going to the changeling world. Garrick actually doesn't reveal his info, but Tane is like, we need to kill Odo. And the Romulan Tal Shiar dude and Garrick convince him otherwise. Tane likes to clear loose ends. And the Tal Shiar believe that it's pragmatic to keep Odo as well, but warn Garrick, they're on to him, and they're going to start the offensive blamming at the Great Link. They attack the Founder's home and think they are killing it, but discovered actually it's deserted. It was a trick. The Founders came through with false life readings, and the Jem'Hadar appear and start just blasting. The Cardassian Romulan fleet are getting overwhelmed. Garrick uses info he learned from Bashir and explains that this is not their battle. They need to retreat. As the ship starts to get destroyed, Garrick realizes his errors. He comes to save Odo. Encountering the Tal Shiar dude, Lovak, armed but surprisingly helpful, he reveals, like, actually he's a changeling too. And Lovak reveals that he sort of manipulated everybody to trick the Romulan and Cardassians to not come for them, because to make them think that don't mess with us only is left there the Klingons and the Federation, and they don't think that they'll come for them. Odo is asked again to join the Great Link, and whoever, you know, the person pretending to be Lovak lets them go, beams out, and is like, you really should come home, though. Garrick tries to rescue Enebrin Tane, but Tane says he isn't going. Garrick realizes that hubris did him in for him to not realize that there was a changeling on the ship. Odo knocks Garrick out to get him to safety. On the runabout, Odo and Garrick, even though they're quote unquote safe, they're about to die. They're getting blasted at. Garrick apologizes. Odo points out that he understands the desire to return home, and everything is looking bad. But that's when The Defiant shows up and saves the day. They swiftly escape home. All ships of the Romulan Tal Shiar Cardassian crew are gone. Back at home, Ben is reprimanded, but warned that if he does this again, he'll either be court-martialed or promoted. Depends on the outcome. Odo talks to Garak in Garak's tailor shop that was destroyed by Sword of himself in the previous episode. Odo appreciates that in the report, Garak didn't reveal Odo's desire to go home. He's like, your secret is safe with me, and I'm, you know, I could rent out this shop, but I'm just going to clean it up. He's annoyed and laments that he really doesn't want to be a tailor, but damn if he's not good at it. And they agree to have a meet cute soon.
A note to our listeners. If you love the Southpaw Project, please support us and help us get paid for our labor by financially supporting us on Patreon. This will give you access to exclusive bonus content, like early releases of Southpaw Deep Space Nine, our fictional narrative podcast, Fighter's Brew, break-free versions of our shows without interruptions like you're hearing now, bonus articles, Fighter's Brew transcripts with extra content, Liberation Martial Arts Online, as well as our private chat group on Discord. You can also make one-time donations at Ko-Fi or show your solidarity by wearing our swag. You can find all pertinent links at southpawpod.com. So Garak has chemistry with everyone. And with Tane, we see an example of what politicians do, which is to lie, but very politely. This is very establishment, very liberal order. Nowadays, the right just says the awful stuff out loud, and liberals hate that. They want the country club polite lies. They want to go back to brunch. But this type of political talking is very much the norm of the time DS9 first aired. Both know the other is lying, but they don't call it out because calling it out is also impolite.
Well, it's very like real politic and rough and disgusting. And you sort of see, you know, Garak is best when you don't hate him. And in this episode, you hate him because you see his true colors and they're not good. He is not a good person. Now, Deep Space Nine is very good at exploring the gray area. But I would say that if everything we are led, if a fraction of what we are to believe about Garak that we've been told is true, he's not a good person. And despite that, as a fan of Garak, you're excited to see him get his groove back to be part of this society. But it was very frustrating, and it definitely reminded me of real life political deals.
The next scene that stood out for me is the one where the Federation chief security officer sabotages the Defiant, leaving the crew exposed, literally, without their cloaking device. Going back to the cop talk, which we talk about a lot, and also analyzing what that means, we really get deep into cop theory. So the police have a chain of command, and above Sisko is the Admiral of the Federation. We've talked about this, but cop is slang for agent of the rules-based order or the empire. So the chief security officer has to listen to the cop above him. And Sisko gets that, which is why the security officer didn't get in trouble ultimately, because he was just following orders. How did you read that situation, Scott?
I read it as this like sort of, yeah, like liberalism or honestly, all mainstream politics that you just follow orders and do what you're told, and you either do what you're told with a hashtag of something optically acceptable, or you just say that you hate, you know, trans kids. And it's both sides of a similar coin, you know. And there's a moment, And this point is very important, though the reality of why this is really important, it takes a few seasons. This is a slow cook. When Cisco Ben says, I trust anyone from the Federation. If you say you're not going to do something, I know in my soul you will not. Sort of is very important in who Ben is and will be tested throughout the show.
Because if we analyze this, right, as not just political scientists, not just political theorists, but also, let's say, behavior theorists, materialists, people who think about how things come to be, as scientific socialists, then we also have to think about the Federation being a sorting mechanism, right? Whether the writers think about it or not, if you have something like that, it sorts for certain kinds of people to be admitted, right? Because you're volunteering to this. So I think that in itself mostly brings about certain types of people who believe in the rules-based order, people who want to follow orders, people who believe in a chain of command, you know, all those things that scene that you just mentioned with Cisco conveys. But it's not just about the character of Cisco. What I'm saying is the Federation already sorts for people who are like that. So those are the conditions. And from the conditions, you get certain outcomes.
Absolutely. And you then see the different sides of the coin. Eddington and Cisco are both career men, but just have different contexts and different focuses.
And the thing is, if you have a system like this, ultimately, right, can it ever be good? Because even if you want it to be good, even if it started out to be good because of the kind of people it sorts for, and then it becomes like a brewery where it just gets like more and more purified to be that over time, it is going to be imperialistic. Now, with the reveal at the end, I did not see that coming. But the thing about Lobach, I think maybe to add on to something you said, right? He clarified in there because I think Garrick was first accusing him of being the mastermind. He was like, I didn't mastermind anything. I just watched it. These guys came up with everything and I just watched it and I just let my people know. But it's like, this is their idea. They wanted to genocide us, right? The foreshadowing of Caesar that they did in the first part, and even how it tied together with the end, with the head of the Obsidian Order even being able to be caught off guard. It was a nice way to put a ribbon on it. It also seemed like an homage to Apocalypse Now.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
That line says a lot, right? Because napalm is like a war crime. And again, going back to sorting mechanism, the people who love that smell are in that military, right? It sorts for that. Not only sorts for that, but even if you don't come like that, they want to turn you into somebody like that. Now, the Odo torture scene was rough.
Yeah.
And well acted.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, in my opinion, needless. It got us to Garrick becoming aware of the Great Link. But ultimately, now that we're in part two and then now I've seen it, there was no need for Odo to even go on that expedition to look for Tain. The broadcast by Tain revealed everything anyway. So the investigation was also needless. You had the Romulans, Cardassians, and the Federation violating international space law, committing an act of aggression and war. And war crimes against the Dominion homeworld, attacking them. And then with the DS9 crew, right? We talked about the icky liberal order that their scenes had. But then they went there, they violated all these things, did their own wrongs to save Odo, which makes sense, right? They're saving one of their own. But he didn't need to be there anyway. So the torture scene just ended up being torture porn because the point was just to have that torture or maybe connect Garrick to the knowledge of the Great Link. But there are a lot of ways to get there. But then somehow that's supposed to make Garrick and Odo friends, and we're supposed to think better of Garrick and think the Federation and everyone else did the right thing because reasons.
Sorry, it's certainly strange that you would torture your colleague to the brink of death, and then you guys would go out to eat lunch.
It was also odd because he initiated Odo getting involved all this for the final payoff for him to get tortured. But really, like, Odo added nothing to this investigation, right? And then at the end, they had another Casablanca homage of, we're going to be friends now. And it's like, no, dude, that doesn't fit with this. That doesn't fit with everything else that happened. And even with everything they did to the Dominion, I think they're trying to make it justified by saying Dominion equals bad. So anything you do to them is good. So, you know, Sisko, hey, we might give you promotion. Hey, Admiral, hey, Sisko, we're going to give each other sly smiles. Like, hey, we did good, right? But it's like, no, you all did bad. You all were very bad in this episode. And also, even though I didn't see the ending with the changeling spy happening, the fact that I didn't see it coming was nice. But then it was also, going back to everything, right, with the writing, it was very convenient. So they had me in part one, but part two, for me, fell apart and ended up being a lot of apologism for some very terrible acts. Not because that's the message they were trying to send, I don't think, but just because they couldn't land the ending and the plot just falling apart, in my opinion. Sometimes you get very bad messaging because you just couldn't figure it out. You just couldn't put it together. But Scott, how do you compare part one and two?
So, you know, at the heart of these two episodes is Andrew Robinson, the actor of Garak, and Rene Auberjonois, the actor that played Odo, rest in peace. And their chemistry is what makes both episodes. However, in my opinion, the first episode was superior to the second episode. Like you, I found the torture to be gratuitous, even though it's very interesting to learn about, you know, founder physiology. And yeah, there were a bunch of plot points that didn't make a lot of sense, unless it was the founder's plan all along to have Odo come there to try to get him back to the Great Link. Other than that, as you pointed out, there wasn't a lot of reason for Odo to come along on the ride, though there was just like a lot of manipulation, and it was disappointing, but made sense to see Enna Brentane fail so loudly, because what we, you know, Enna Brentane, you know who's a big fan of Enna Brentane? Enna Brentane. So his hubris brought him to his demise, and the hubris of politicians and warmongerers often leads to their demise. When you think you're untouchable is when you're going to get touched. I give it a 3.5, maybe even a 3. It's good to get some backstory and some mythology, but other than that, you know, I wasn't really feeling it, to be honest, though I did enjoy the developing of Michael Eddington, who is a very interesting character.
It's that meme, you had us in the first half.
Yes, you had us in the first half. Look, ending is much harder than stopping. And one day I would like to discuss the dichotomy of the Borg versus the Great Link, because there's some interesting things about it. But this isn't the episode. So next week, we go to Explorers. And this is Sisko and Jake just having fun.
Until then. If you like this episode and like what we do, support us on Patreon. We also have the Liberation Martial Arts program if you want to train with us from wherever you are. It's both theory and practice and removes the need for an instructor. What you're learning is how to teach yourself. It's also an approach you can take with you from the gym into the world. Sponsors get a monthly training session with me, either in person or online. Supporting me not only helps me pay my bills, but it also helps me support my family. Find all our links, including Southpaw merch, at southpawpod.com.